Our first reading for the sixth Sunday of Easter comes from Acts chapter 16. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So, setting sail from Troas, we made a direct voyage to Samothrace, and the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city in the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city some days, and on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia, from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And after she was baptized, and her household as well, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." And she prevailed upon us. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading is from Revelation chapter 21. Then came one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues. And he spoke to me, saying, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, its radiance like a most rare jewel, like a jasper clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates, and at the 12 gates, 12 angels. And on the gates, the names of the 12 tribes of the son of Israel were inscribed. On the east, 3 gates, on the north, 3 gates, on the south, 3 gates, and on the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, each of the gates made of a single pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, transparent as glass. And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. And its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. This is the word of the Lord. Gospel according to St. John. After this, there was a feast of the Jews. Oh, I'm sorry. Wrong one. I'm looking. John chapter 16. Jesus said, "In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day you will ask in my name. And I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world, and now I am leaving the world and going to the Father." His disciples said, "Ah, now you are speaking plainly, not using figurative speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God." Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming, indeed it has come, when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I have to admit a romantic attachment to old-fashioned letters. Growing up in the middle of nowhere, when long-distance calls were still metered, email was still 10 years away, and social media platforms were not even thought of, the post office maintained an art form. Some letters would arrive on heavy personal stationery. The ones that came on that paper usually came with expert flowing penmanship. Even if you couldn't read it, such a letter was still something to behold. The other end were missives that were written on paper, pulled out of ringed binders, and stuffed into just regular white envelopes. These were the forms of the notes that my grandmother wrote to my mother. Per the postmarks, it took about a week to get from Arnsville, Illinois, one point of the middle of nowhere, to Fulton, Illinois, another pole of the sticks. I used to joke around with Mom that it was from one armpit of the universe to another. Sometimes that letter had been marked through Chicago, other times through Peoria. With a fortnight as the fastest turnaround, even in days when things didn't move quite as fast, letters were not really about advice or even events. They were openings into a world, a sharing of reality based simply on the love. It used to be a staple to publish the collected letters of famous writers. Sometimes, even before death, depending upon the writer's ego and the market, much of what we have from the ancient world are actually published letters. Writers, even in a personal form like letters, tend to think they're writing for posterity, and they knew it was an art form. If you like Jane Austen's novels, you should read her letters. You can get it out of the library anytime. They're mostly written to her sister. If you happen to be like me, you might enjoy a movie from a Jane Austen book, but anymore find it actually hard to read her books. Like my ability to read, the popular art form of the letter has decayed. Cheap long distance email and social media seem to have killed it off. Now we can all be in 24/7 contact with people, even at the distance from Arnsville to Fulton. But we have little of the connection that those letters carried. And we have next to nothing of the invitations to share in a world purely made out of love. We are all voyeurs skimming the surface. Likewise, the collected tweets of anybody would be an oxymoron. Writers might have written with the thought that they would be published, but almost always posthumously. That letter, when it was written, was private, between beloveds, whether romantic, family, or friends. The immediacy of communication and its public nature have taken away that meditative, slow, revealing aspect of letters, the voice and the self that was present, even though it was absent. I wonder if in losing letters as a common practice, we have made prayer a much tougher conceptual practice. Jesus invites us to prayer. To ask and you will receive, for your joy will be made full. Jesus doesn't say that prayer solves everything. In fact, he says that you will have tribulation. The second the disciples believe him, now you believe. Behold, the time is coming when you will be scattered. The world continues on. It scatters us. It might put one in Fulton and another in Arnsville. It might simply try to put us behind screens under the same roof. The events of life used to be grist for the letter, but it was a boring letter that just recounted events. Because the real letter brought the spirit which was full of the joy of meeting this person again. The good news is God has invited us into his world based on his love. We ask that our joy might be complete. Anybody who has ever received exactly what they wanted knows that that isn't joy. The second you get it, you're looking for something else. But it was always a joy receiving a letter. And that is really what prayer is about. We've been given a private opening into the life of God. And he wants that same private opening into our lives. For the Father himself loves you. Prayer is like those old letters. It brings that spirit into our presence. And the second part of the good news here is, take heart, I have overcome the world. As great as letters are, they're always substitutes. They're forms of the man from Macedonia telling Paul, come here. The tribulations and the distance, I'm leaving this world and going to the Father, might conspire to tell us that the love is false. They might make us think that our divine letter writer is lying to us, that he will never bridge the gap from Arnsville to Fulton. But the promise of Jesus is that he's overcome the world. He has risen. We will rise. He has come from the Father and is going to the Father. He has blazed the trail that we too can follow if we believe. In this present reality, God wants us to be part of his life. Ask, pray, have that joy, have the peace. I've told you these things that you might have peace. And we can have that peace and joy because of his promise. He's overcome. Letter writers, prayers will be reunited. Email is often a poor substitute simply because the medium still invites immediacy. I must respond now. But I take Silicon Valley's attempt to do away with email to be the work of Satan, because all of their substitutes, social media, Slack, and the like, all remove that private, personal nature of it. The medium is the message, is what Marshall McLuhan said. And in this case, the message is that nobody really cares. You can friend as much as you want, but we know they're not real friends. Friends invite you into their world, and not some simple world of events that happened because I have pictures of them. But they invite you into themselves. I'm not foolish enough to think that letter writing will come back. But I do take quite a bit of time to correspond, to invite through email. Sometimes people respond, sometimes they don't. That's part of this world. That's part of attempting to live the gospel. We've been invited into that life of God. We've been given prayer. And one of those prayers is, "Your kingdom come," which our confirmands learned this past week that means that God's kingdom comes by itself, but we pray that it comes to us also. And when it has come to us, we have been made ambassadors of that kingdom. We share the joy and the peace of the kingdom in whatever way we are enabled to do so. It doesn't have to be by letters or email. That's just something that I can do. Paul had a way of bridging differences. That formerly proud Hebrew of the Hebrews meeting a bunch of Gentile women at the riverbank to join in prayer. We bridge gaps. Blessed are the peacemakers. Because that is what we have been given. That's how we live the gospel until this world is finally overcome. And that new Jerusalem we read about descends for the final time. Amen.